From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal in English program. Hopefully you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. For this 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain, educate, as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo orders a breakthrough to accelerate Industry 4.0 roadmap. President Joko Widodo says there is no room to raise issue about Papua at the United Nations. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, at a limited cabinet meeting on Thursday, ordered a breakthrough to encourage the acceleration of the Industry 4.0 roadmap. The limited meeting was attended by ministers and head of the Investment Coordinating Board, Thomas Lembong. Several breakthroughs are necessary, such as improving regulations, improving the quality of human resources, building a good ecosystem of innovation, increasing incentives for investment in technology, and redesigning industrial zones to improve the flow of material. If the government concentrates on improving the structure of the national industry, it can be even stronger. The implementation of the industry roadmap is expected to create more than 10 million jobs. Making Indonesia 4.0 provides a clear direction for the movement of the national industry with a focus on developing 5 manufacturing sectors that will be piloted and undertake 10 national initiatives to strengthen Indonesia's industrial structure. Indonesian President Joko Widodo asked the people not to worry about the maneuvering of a number of parties who were pushing for the Papuan issue to be resolved at the United Nations. President Joko Widodo, when speaking with a number of chief editors of the mass media at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Thursday, said that the UN had finished regarding the status of Papua. The United Nations has recognized 100% that Papua is part of the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. Previously reported that head of the Public Relations Division of the National Police, Inspector General Muhammad Iqbal, said that the police is investigating the alleged involvement of foreign parties in the riots that occurred in Papua and West Papua. However, he admitted that he could not disclose much information about foreign parties who allegedly supported the Free Papua Organization. The governmental delegations of Indonesia and Kuwait held discussion on endeavors to boost bilateral economic cooperation between both countries. Indonesian Foreign First Minister Retno LP Marsudi in Jakarta on Tuesday said that the Indonesia-Kuwait Joint Commission session is a platform that can be used to strengthen bilateral cooperation, especially in the economic field. The Joint Commission meeting was led by Minister Marsudi and Kuwaiti Foreign Minister Sheikh Sabah Khalid Al-Hamad Al-Sabah in Kuwait City in September 2nd. Minister Retno Marsudi remarked that Indonesia and Kuwait remain the best of allies, sharing common positions on the plethora of global issues. During the meeting, both nations concurred on bolstering cooperation in economic, trade and investment fields, as well as sending Indonesian professional workers to Kuwait. The two ministers also decided to intensify trade that transcends the oil and gas sectors. The National Police has named 48 suspects for their alleged involvement in a series of riots in Papua in the middle of August. National Police spokesman Brigadier General Dedi Prasetyo has stated. The suspects from Papua number 48 comprise of 28 suspects in riot in Jayapura and 10 each in Timika and Diai riots. Meanwhile, the police has named 20 suspects in West Papua unrest that consisted of 8 suspects in Manokwari unrest, 7 in Sorong case and 5 in Fakfak riot. All suspects have been charged under Article 170 for attacking and injuring others, Article 156 and Article 365 of the Criminal Code, as well as Article 1 of Emergency Law No. 12/1951. Brigadier General Prasetyo remarked, earlier the government had named 2 suspects and suspended 5 military personnel for the racist speech against Papuan students in Surabaya and Malang East Java, Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Wiranto stated. The 2 suspects were charged under Article 55A and Article 28, Law No. 19/2016 for electronic information and transaction. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Financial Services Authority will collaborate with the Monetary Authority of Singapore, Japan, Financial Service Authority and Security Exchange Commission of Malaysia to develop financial technology, FinTech. The Financial Services Authority Chairman Wimbo Santoso stated in Jakarta on Tuesday that the financial service offices are yet under discussion over the collaboration's rules and mechanism. The collaboration was part of the regulatory sandbox and supervisory technology strategies imposed by the Financial Services Authority to maintain a safe and creative environment for the financial technology industry, Santoso explained. He remarked that these strategies were launched in line with President Joko Widodo's instructions on development of financial technology. Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan is a strong proponent of the view that the time has come for Indonesia to produce electric cars since several supporting materials exist in the country. Some 70-80% of the components to produce lithium battery required for electric cars had been available in Indonesia. The minister remarked while speaking at the Indonesia Electric Motor Show 2019 held on Wednesday. Panjaitan noted that several investors were keen to develop plans for the production of components for electric cars. There is a pressing need to switch to electric cars which are environment-friendly from vehicles powered by fossil fuels that are major contributors to air pollution in the country and Jakarta in particular. The oldest manuscript of Islamic Holy Quran crafted in Indonesia is preserved in pristine condition at the Ahmadiyah Islamiyah Museum in Naratiwat Province, Thailand. The Quran was written in 1634 by Sheikh Nuruddin Muhammad Hamid Proniri. He was from the west of Indonesia's archipelago Samudra Pasai, or Muslim Kingdom of Northern Sumatra. Head of the Ahmadiyya Islamiyah Foundation, Lutfi Samia, revealed in Thailand on Wednesday. Samia noted that the museum had on display some 34 Quran manuscripts that were brought to Naratiwat by Indonesian Java Muslim scholars who had migrated across to Patani province, also known as Serambi Mecca or the Veranda of Mecca, Southern Thailand, over several centuries ago. Since several Quran manuscripts were there, the Ahmadiyya Islami Museum forged partnership with Taman Mini Indonesia Indah, the archipelago's cultural heritage site, and Foundation located in Jakarta to conduct collaborative research. Well, listener, that's the news.
Today's commentary is on overcoming crisis in Hong Kong. Uncertain situation in Hong Kong continues. Protesters who oppose the proposed bill on extradition to mainland China still continued the demonstration. Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam, meanwhile, was determined not to repeal the extradition bill. Carrie Lam has also denied reports that she intends to resign from her post, while protesters widened their action by disrupting the international airport in Hong Kong. The government in Hong Kong insisted that an extradition bill was needed, and that is also included rules that protect the rights of Hong Kong citizens. The bill, according to the Hong Kong authorities, is guaranteed not to erode the special freedoms enjoyed by Hong Kong residents. However, the protesters consider the bill to bring those who are extradited to trial by undesired China's legal rules. The rejection of the extradition bill to mainland China is interesting because actually Hong Kong has signed an extradition treaty with around 20 countries. The international community is still waiting for the end of the crisis in Hong Kong. The facts show that the demonstration continues to expand by involving thousands of high school students. They boycott teaching and learning activities by going to the field to participate in demonstrations. In this situation, the patience of the Chinese government in Beijing continues to be tested. If they finally intervene by mobilizing their troops to overcome the demonstration in Hong Kong, the situation in Hong Kong would be getting worse. One way that might be the best solution is to hold talks and negotiation between the Hong Kong authorities and the rally leaders. Well, that was commentary today in Overcoming Crisis in Hong Kong. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
On behalf of Radio Thailand, the Government Public Relations Department, I would like to convey my congratulations to Radio Republic Indonesia on your 74th founding anniversary. I'm confident that your organization will continue to play a significant role in the advancement of broadcasting with fruitful and prosperous production. I also extend the best wishes from Radio Thailand colleagues to all members of RRI on this special occasion. Thank you.
Today in history, I'll begin with September the 4th, 1948. Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands abdicates. Queen Wilhelmina was the Queen of the Netherlands from 1890 to 1948. She led the Netherlands for more than 50 years. The period of her power witnessed several points of change in the Netherlands and world history, namely World War I, World War II, the economic crisis of 1933, and also the fall of the Netherlands as a colonial ruler. She is most remembered for her role in World War II, where she became an inspiration for the Dutch people. After the war, Queen Wilhelmina decided to move from the palace to a house in The Hague for 8 months and visited all corners of the country to motivate the Dutch people. On September 4, 1948, Wilhelmina handed over the reins of power to her daughter, Princess Juliana, for health reasons. Turning to September the 4th, 1971, Alaska Airlines plane 1866 crashes. Alaska Airlines flight 1866 is a commercial flight from Anchorage, Alaska to Seattle, Washington, with an intermediate stop. On September the 4th, 1971, the plane crashed into a mountain in Haynesboro near Juneau, Alaska, when it was about to land. 111 people were killed in this accident. This is the first accident of the Alaska airline. This accident was also the worst in the history of the United States until June the 24th, 1975, when Eastern Airlines Flight 66 crashed. I'll conclude with September the 4th, 1988. Google was founded. Google Incorporation is a United States multinational company engaged in internet services and products. These products include search technology, web computing, software, and online advertising. Google was founded by Larry Page and Sergey Brin while still taking PhD at Stanford University. They both hold 16% of the company's shares. They made Google a private company on September 4, 1998. Google is widely known for its web search services. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Ku tutup mata, hindari pagi. Tenggelam di dalam, galau tak pasti. Aku hiraukan suara hati yang ingin berlari. Rindukan mentari. Duduk sendiri, rasa sepi. Musim berganti dan ku masih begini. Buka pintu hatiku dengan sentuhan kasih. Ku tak sama lagi. Yang berseri.
You are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, for this segment, we would like to give you information. And here is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia titled Communication and Information Technology Ministry inaugurated border digitalization in Nunukan. Communication and Information Technology Minister Rudiantara inaugurated digitalization in border area at Dwikora Sports Stadium, Nunukan. He was accompanied by North Kalimantan Governor Irianto Lambri and Nunukan Regent Asmin Laura Hafid. One day earlier, the ministry's broadcasting director Griantika Kurnia in Nunukan North Kalimantan explained that Nunukan was chosen for the first border digitalization program since Nunukan still does not have 4G facility yet like in Java. Minister Rudiantara, in his remarks, said the program initiated by the Telecommunication and Information Accessibility Agency, or BAKTI, of the ministry was a real commitment to developing Indonesia from border area. According to Rudiantara, digitalization in border area considers digital quality, content, and digital infrastructure. The minister explained that the digitalization program consists of simulcast program, short for simultaneous analog and digital broadcast in border area. The launching was done simultaneously in Batam, Jayapura, and centered in Nunukan. This program enables people to use digital and analog TV at the same time. The use of digital TV was expected to provide better quality broadcasts from the country's edge compared to the analog one. Minister Rudiantara moreover explained that there are two ways of watching digital TV, namely with new TV equipped with parts that receive digital broadcasts and old model TV that must be equipped with setup box. In the launching, three Indonesian TV stations, namely TVRI, Metro TV, and Transmedia, gave out setup box to the people for free. According to Rudiantara, this setup box could really help people who have old TV. Currently, the people in Nunukan received analog TV broadcasts through satellite dish, cable TV, and other means with low quality image. Thus, Minister Rudiantara hoped the image can be better. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Pernah ku tahu dalam hati ini sayang, hanya wajahmu.
Hi, listener of Radio Republic Indonesia, whenever you are, I'm Vladimir Pakhil, ambassador of Ukraine to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 74th anniversary of Radio Republic Indonesia. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara.
You are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, after listening Indonesian song, it's the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
The history of Garut cannot be separated with Limbangan Regency, which was old Regency in which its capital city moved to Garut, because natural disaster, such as flooding, often occurred. Garut's natural condition is still beautiful, and this makes tourism destination of this Regency to become the leading one of West Java province. In addition to having beautiful natural destination, Garut is also rich of history. One of the histories which can be found at this region is Changkuang Temple. The temple is one of Hindu temples, which was found for the first time at Sundanese Tatar at Pulau Hamlet Changkuang, Leles, Garut District, West Java. The temple was found by Har Soyo and Uka Chandra Sasmita in 1966. The temple, which is expected from the 8th century, was found in incomplete condition, and only 40% of the original stones of the temple were used to reconstruct the shape of the temple. The renovation process of the temple started from 1974 until 1975. Then, the reconstruction was conducted in 1976, including the frame of body, roof, and Shiva statue. The temple was also completed with Joglo of museum, which is used to store and to inventory historical stuff. Cultural heritage of Garut Regency. The discovery of Changhuang Temple is also an answer of historical emptiness between Purnawarman and Pajajaran kingdoms. Unfortunately, the shape of original temple is unknown. However, the fascination of Changhuang Temple is able to attract tourists to visit it. Listeners, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thanks for listening.
On behalf of Radio Thailand, the Government Public Relations Department, I would like to convey my congratulations to Radio Republic Indonesia on your 74th founding anniversary. I'm confident that your organization will continue to play a significant role in the advancement of broadcasting with fruitful and prosperous production. I also extend the best wishes from Radio Thailand colleagues to all members of RRI on this special occasion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Listeners, for the next segment, we would like to present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia in our program. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development and Cultivation Agency, Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is the use of not only, but also. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next is a conversation between Tony and Enda at Joko's house. They are talking about events that have ever been experienced.
Ketika kecil, aku sering terjatuh. Tidak hanya terjatuh dari sepeda, tapi juga dari pohon. Ibuku suka menangis kalau aku terjatuh.
Wah, ibumu pasti sedih.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and expressions that are related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can repeat after me. Terjatuh, which means fall down. Terjatuh, which means fall down. Menangis, which means to cry. Once again, menangis, which means to cry. Marah, which means angry. Marah, which means angry. Lupa, which means forget. Lupa, which means forget. Tidak hanya, tetapi juga. Not only, but also. Once again, tidak hanya, tetapi juga. Not only, but also. Next one is, ketika kecil, aku sering jatuh. When I was a child, I often fell. Once again, ketika kecil, aku sering jatuh. When I was a child, I often fell. Next one is, aku tidak hanya terjatuh dari sepeda, tetapi juga dari pohon. I fell not only from bicycle, but also from tree. Aku tidak hanya terjatuh dari sepeda, tetapi juga pohon. I fell not only from bicycle, but also from trees. The next one, ibuku suka menangis kalau aku terjatuh. My mother always cried when I fell. Ibuku suka menangis kalau aku jatuh. My mother always cried when I fell. The last one is, ibumu pasti sedih. Your mother must be sad. Once again, ibumu pasti sedih. Your mother must be sad. In the dialogue, Tony said, aku tidak hanya terjatuh dari pohon, tetapi juga dari sepeda. The conjunction can be used to combine the two expressions. The first expression, aku terjatuh dari sepeda. The second one is, aku terjatuh dari pohon. You can combine both expressions becoming, aku tidak hanya terjatuh dari sepeda, tetapi juga dari pohon. Another example, dia tidak hanya cantik, tapi juga pintar. Which means, she's not only beautiful, but also smart. In the dialogue, Tony also say, ibuku suka menangis. The word suka in Tony's expression does not mean glad to do something, but it means sering or often. The word suka means sering or often. Is only used in common conversation. Here are the next expressions that I'm going to give you. Aku suka lupa mematikan lampu. Aku suka lupa mematikan lampu. I often forgot to turn off the light. Aku suka lupa mematikan lampu. I often forgot to turn off the light. The next example is, atasanku suka marah tanpa alasan, which means my boss is often angry for no reason. Once again, atasanku suka marah tanpa alasan. My boss is often angry for no reason. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation one more time.
Ketika kecil, aku sering terjatuh. Tidak hanya terjatuh dari sepeda, tapi juga dari pohon. Ibuku suka menangis kalau aku terjatuh.
Wah, ibumu pasti sedih.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Indonesian language. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
You are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listeners, welcome back to Music Corner. Now I present you a song from Bengkulu province entitled Ikan Pais. The song tells about one of typical food of Bengkulu, namely ikan pais. In its lyric, the song tells about ikan pais is wrapped by taro leaf. Ikan pais is more delicious when eaten with hot rice. This culinary makes people eat more and more. In Bengkulu, ikan pais is processed with marine fish added with spices. The fish and spices are wrapped in taro leaf, then steamed until cooked. Sometimes ikan pais is eaten with fresh vegetables and warm rice. For those who have not had time to taste ikan pais, let's listen to the song by Jarvis entitled Ikan Pais. Enjoy the song.
Ikan pais kelaponyo mudo dibungkus daun talas rapi-rapi dikebet tali mesyang. Ikan pais lemak rasonyo makan ke nasi putih pane-pane ulam ke jering mudo. Rasonyo oi lemah nian makan sebungkus samo-samo nasi sepiring udah habis raso nak tambu. Rasonyo oi lemah nian badan keringen iti-iti sambalnyo pede tambu lagi habis segalo. Ikan pais kelaponyo mudo dibungkus daun talas rapi-rapi dikebet tali mesyang. Ikan pais lemak rasonyo makan ke nasi putih pane-pane ulam ke jering.
Listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.